I wanted Stevie and Mikey to know that they live on farms down in Bega and they deal with lots of animals. In fact, Stevie, there's a great picture of Stevie taken last week, a couple of weeks ago. I don't know how you did it, Stevie, but he's actually holding an echidna in his hand. He was. And it wasn't a tiny echidna, was it, Stevie? It was a big echidna. Yep. So when Stevie comes up here or goes anywhere, and when I go down to see Stevie, we go on bushwalks and we go on bug hunting expeditions and we go looking for things. So, but one of the reasons I wanted to deal with this story is that I love it so much because it's such an amazing picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also I want for my children, I want for all of us to know that every time we see something that has breath in it in this world, the only reason we can see it and the only reason Stevie can play with them and Mikey can study them and know all about them, they know more about a whole bunch of this, the animal, birds and the fish of this world than I have a clue about. The only reason you know about them and is because of this event, isn't it? And this event is all about, it's not an event about animals so much, it's an event about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a story about him. It's a picture of him. And the Lord Jesus reminds us of Noah's Ark because he says that just as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. There will be a destruction similar. People were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and had given no thought to all the warnings that Noah had given for 120 years. Every time, every hammer blow on that ark was a signal that God is going to judge this earth. And yet, the warnings fell on deaf ears. And so shall it be in the days of Noah. And I want for my grandchildren, and I want for my children, and I want for everyone I know to hear the warnings of God about these things. The reality is that people in Noah's day were not innocent and nor were they ignorant. The people in this day are not innocent and they are not ignorant. And the justice of God in bringing judgment upon this world is a righteous judgment. Everything God does is right and just in every way possible. As we read earlier, Noah was a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a man who received these covenant promises from God. He says, "With thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark." I will establish my covenant. That's a picture of the eternal covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll establish a covenant and thou shalt. Every single one that God put in that covenant before the foundation of the world will be saved and they must be saved and they'll be saved in ways that are so beautifully pictured in Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark is a vessel that could absorb the wrath of God. Absorb the wrath of God that fell on the ark. All of the rain, all of the judgment of God fell on the ark as much as it fell on the rest of the world. But what saved the people in the ark? What saved them? They were saved because they were in the ark, the wrath fell. And that's exactly what happened in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wrath of God fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he absorbed that wrath of God until God's holy justice said, "It is finished. I am satisfied." God has no pleasure. He finds no satisfaction in the death of the wicked because nothing the wicked ever do, all of their sufferings for all eternity, none of that can ever satisfy the justice of God. But the infinite God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, could bear all of that wrath of God. Bear it all. And everyone inside him, everyone in him is as safe as Noah and the others were in the ark. And so this plan, this design of God's salvation is a unique design. No one had ever built a boat before. We were talking about that last night, boys. No one had ever seen a boat before. No one had ever seen rain before. How did Noah manage to build an ark? God taught him how to build an ark. God showed him how to build an ark. And the design is unique. The pattern of salvation, the design of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is unique. And it's not something that man would come up. Not another single person in all the world thought of building a boat. Even when Noah's boat was nearly finished, no one was thinking of building a boat. They thought what Noah was doing was irrelevant and silly. But the building of the ark, as we read earlier, is directed exactly by what God said in every detail. And who gets all the glory? God gets all the glory. When the Lord Jesus Christ finished building his church, who gets all the glory? He gets all the glory. That's what the shouting's of in Zechariah 4, aren't they? The shouting's of it, when that capstone is there and it's all finished and sealed, the shouting's of it, a grace, grace to it. The Lord Jesus Christ builds his church. The Lord Jesus Christ saves his people. But I wanted us to spend a little bit of time with my grandsons on looking at what the ark pictures. See, it was a vessel designed by God to withstand all of the righteous wrath of God and survive. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said, didn't he? He said, "A body hast thou prepared me." And I want us to look at this pitch. The pitch was on the outside of the boat, and the pitch is on the inside of the boat. So all the timbers of the boat were covered in this pitch on the outside, on the inside. And that word pitch, which is like a tarry substance probably, the word means to cover, to purge, which is to take something black and make it white again and clean it. It means to make an atonement. It means to make reconciliation. The big word is propitiation. That's what this word means. It's that which absorbs and turns away wrath. The blood, the atonement blood of the Lord Jesus Christ not only has to be shed, but the atonement blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is applied to the hearts of people. It's on the outside to absorb the wrath of God, and it's on the inside to cleanse our consciences and to wash us clean. Every time they looked around that ark on the inside, what did they see? They saw the atonement. When you looked from the outside, what did you see? You saw atonement again and again and again. And that kept the water out, didn't it, Mikey, Stevie? It kept the water out. The reason the ark floated was because of that pitch. So God designed this. God designed salvation in the most remarkable ways. No one else would ever think of it. God designs it. God commissions it. God gives Noah the skills to complete it. God gives Noah the trees to build it. If you go down the paddock there and have a look at how big the trees must have been, they were enormous trees. These ones here were far too tiny to build anything much in the ark. They might have done some other internals. They're far too tiny. God designs it. God commissions it. God gave Noah the skills. God gave Noah the materials. There was just one door. There is only one door in the ark. There is only one door into eternal life. Christ is the door. He's the door. He's the entrance into this ark. There is just one window in the ark, and it's high up. If you're inside the ark, you look up for light. You look up to see God's hand. The thing that the Lord Jesus Christ warned the people of his day about was that the means of destruction and judgment were close at hand. They weren't far away. They were unseen and unknown to the inhabitants of the earth. But the judgment of people lies close to them, lies close by them. And when Noah is put in the ark, and his family and all the animals, if you're on the outside of the ark, what could you see? You can't see them in there. They're hidden. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Everything they need for their preservation through that long journey in the ark was inside the ark. They didn't have to go out and do fishing. They didn't have to do anything else. They just, everything they had and everything they needed is in the ark. Everything that we have and everything we need is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who are in the ark entered into the ark before one drop of rain falls. You see, there's no judgment can fall on the children of God because they're in the Lord Jesus Christ. He, the ark, bears it all. To enter in the ark, you had to leave. You had to leave this world, didn't you? You had to leave your family. You had to leave your friends. You had to leave everything behind. And for many people, it would have been an extraordinary difficult time. And yet, no matter how difficult the times are, if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing, nothing in this world will ever do you any harm. No harm shall befall the righteous. It shall be well with the righteous. All those in the ark are well. And when the ark had done its journey, you've got to remember it had no sails. The ark had no rudder. There was no steering wheel in it. In fact, they didn't know where they were and where they were going. All they could see for that journey, for most of that journey, if they ever looked out, all they ever saw was water. And so, with all of the children of God, our journey in Christ Jesus in this world is a journey where we follow what he says in his scriptures and we just trust him. We trust him. If we can be made to be found faithful in the little things that are before us, the ark will take us where he determines to take it, which is exactly what's going to happen with all these people. They are safe and secure and they float above what brings judgment to everyone else in this world. And when the ark settled, it settled on dry land and it settled on high ground, which is exactly what happens to the children of God when we leave this creation which is destined for destruction and enter a new one. We enter there in the ark, we enter there on high ground, and we enter there with a journey which is exactly where God has determined that we'll go. I love Proverbs 16, verse 9. It says that in our minds we plan our paths. And we spend a whole bunch of time planning our paths and what's going to happen today and what's going to happen tomorrow and where we're going down the road. Proverbs 16, 9 says, we're planning all the time, aren't we? And our plans are frustrated nearly 100% of the time, aren't they? God says, in our minds we plan our paths and God determines our footsteps. I love that. I love to think about that. That my plans have been messed up. In fact, in most of my life, I've failed. And I look around at all the people that have been successful in things of this world around me, and I'm a very serious failure. Far bigger serious failure than you can possibly imagine. And yet God has determined my footsteps, just like he's determined all of ours. And he'll determine them in such a way that he will keep them in his Son, safe and secure, floating above this world that's under the judgment and wrath of God. And he'll bring us to high ground and he'll bring us to dry ground. And when we get out of the ark, what do we find? He brings us to a fruitful land, doesn't he? And everything that we've ever needed through all this journey through this world is safe and secure in him. So every echidna you find, Stevie, it's alive because... Good. The pitch on the ark, it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the reason for all of them living. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which will be the cause for all of his people to go through this world. And as I said at the beginning, Stevie and Mikey know far more about this world and its animals than David Attenborough ever will. Because we know who made them. We know why they're here. And when we get pleasure from seeing them and looking at them, we should, I trust, turn our eyes and our gaze to our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that has breath in it. What a glorious picture of a great and successful Saviour. What a glorious picture of him bearing all the wrath of God. And that we're here today because of shed blood. We're here to lift him up, to see him high and lifted up, just like his ark was. When all those floodwaters are gone, there's that ark and all the provisions for it are there. And the very first thing that Noah does when he gets out of the ark is he sacrifices those animals. It's a reminder, isn't it, that all of that journey and all of their future is wrapped up in who the Lord Jesus Christ is and his blood sacrifice. Amen. We might sing again. Normie? Is it number 14? It's good. 14. And then we'll have a break. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Let's sing.
Yes.